It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece Lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast. Number 95 for the Jets.
Listen, thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And anybody that listens to this show or follows me on Twitter knows that I was beyond excited when the Jets picked Malachi Corley, the Yak God, out of Western Kentucky with the 65th overall pick in the draft. First pick in the third round. They traded up to do it. I've been screaming for them to do it since the second round began, and I'm glad they finally were able to pull it off. And I wanted to get to know more about Malachi Corley beyond just what we've seen on the football field. And so to do that, I went out and brought in somebody who knows Malachi Corley pretty well because he covered him up close the whole time Malachi Corley's been at Western Kentucky. He's the sports editor for the Bowling Green Daily News, Jeff Nations. Jeff, thanks so much for coming on, man. Really appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for the invitation.
Jeff, as I told you before we started recording, I think the only three people on earth that are more excited about Malachi Corley showing up to play for the Jets than I am are Aaron Rodgers, Robert Saleh, and Joe Douglas. So this is going to be a fun show.
Oh, I think so, yeah. I mean, just watching their presser, they definitely showed some real enthusiasm. More than I'm used to, I would say, for a third-round pick.
Yeah, they were absolutely thrilled to be able to get Malachi Corley. And when you dig in on him, it's easy to see why. And Jeff, I want to start with the high school version of Malachi Corley because he really tore it up at Campbellsville High School, but he still had to struggle to get himself a Division I scholarship. Talk a little bit about what Corley did in high school, his journey to Western Kentucky, and all the roadblocks that were in his way because he really had to fight for that offer, and it ended up being the only one he got.
Right. I think the first time I saw Malachi was in high school. I saw him junior or senior year. He was playing for Campbellsville, which is a single A high school. The state of Kentucky goes five classes, so that's the smallest class. And he played slot. He played outside receiver, but he also played running back. I mean, they just got the ball in his hands any way they could. And I mean, you could see he had talent, but he wasn't near the size that he ended up being now. You know, definitely had speed. But you can never tell how that's going to translate. You see that kind of speed pretty often, but does it always come together? Most times it doesn't. He ends up being kind of a camp kid at Western Kentucky. You know, they'll bring in the local kids and try him out. And he was one that did catch the coaching staff's eye, but most of the recruiting they do, the scholarship recruiting, is down south, like most programs. So they're pulling out of Florida and Georgia and Alabama, Mississippi. The Kentucky kids that they bring in, most of them end up as preferred walk-ons. So that could have very well been what happened with Malachi, too. But he did at least have some FCS offers. So ultimately, he did get the scholarship offer at Western Kentucky. And, you know, it's been just a steady development from there.
I want to talk about his freshman year because he had to force his way onto the field. That's the other thing. A lot of these guys, they're higher recruits, so they're able to get on the field right away, especially at a place like Western Kentucky, not somewhere like Alabama or Oregon, where it's very rare that a true freshman would play. But Malachi Corley worked so hard and was so good that he was able to get on the field as a true freshman.
Yeah, as a two-star, right? Not happening too often, even at this level of FBS. Generally, your threes and fours are going to be the guys that they're looking at. But, Malachi worked his way in there. First year, Western's offense really wasn't what it became, so kind of limited numbers. But, I mean, he earned a start his final game of the season. So I think he was set up for that next year when they brought in Zach Kittley and Bailey Zappi from Houston Baptist, now Houston Christian. And the offense just really took off from there.
Can you talk a little bit more about what the offense was like with Bailey Zappi, who Jets fans all know because obviously he plays for the Patriots, and a little bit about what happened with Zach Kittley when he came in as the offensive coordinator, because I think that's what really transformed that Western Kentucky offense, and it began the ascent of Malachi Corley to what we know him as now, the Yak God.
Right. Western was kind of on the forefront of the transfer portal. They've always, under head coach Tyson Helton, they always seemed like they were kind of half a step ahead. And one of the first things they did was they recognized that they could pull up from lower levels and find talent there, whereas, the high FBS programs were looking to pull up from the mids. Western was pulling up from the FCS, and they found Zach Kittley to run the offense. They brought his quarterback with him and a wide receiver named Jarrett Stearns, who's in the Canadian Football League right now. And I mean, they were just an explosive combination just from the start. So just a really good job of evaluating what could be successful at this level. And Zach Kittley implemented an offense that was just record breaking here. And Malachi became a big part of that. He was actually Kittley's first year, Malachi was probably the third leading receiver on the team behind Jarrett Stearns, who was kind of in the role that Malachi ended up in, just kind of a slot guy, but could do other things, but more of a volume receiver, I would say. And then they had a guy named Mitchell Tinsley, who's playing for the Washington Commanders right now as a deep threat and kind of that mid guy. He ended up transferring to Penn State. And then Malachi got plenty of touches. I think he had 70-something catches that year.
Zappi moves on, Kittley moves on, in comes a new offensive coordinator, Ben Arbuckle, and in comes a new quarterback, Austin Reed, who had won a Division II national championship. You think Malachi Corley made all this progress, the Western Kentucky offense made all this progress, things aren't going to be the same, but yet Malachi Corley continued to rise. His friendship and his chemistry with Austin Reed was off the charts, and he did really well under Arbuckle. So talk to me a little bit about that transition too, because for a lot of players, when somebody they're comfortable with as the play caller, as the offensive coordinator, as the guy throwing them the ball leaves, you would see a decline. But that was not the case at all with Malachi Corley. If anything, he actually got better when those guys moved on.
Right. Well, one of the things about that is Ben Arbuckle had also come from Houston Baptist with Kittley. So he gets elevated to the offensive coordinator job. So there's that continuity there with the offense. And then he got to know Malachi. And Austin came in as competition for another guy that they brought in who had started as quarterback at West Virginia. And Austin ends up winning the job, which surprised a lot of people. And the competition ultimately transferred out, but yeah, Austin kind of a gunslinger a little bit, a guy that wasn't afraid to take chances and just really hit it off with Malachi. And I mean, last year, not this past season, but the year before, I mean, they were just absolutely dynamic together.
It sounds like those two developed a really special bond and friendship. They talk in glowing terms about each other. They were roommates. They had an incredible connection on the football field. Can you talk a little bit more about that dynamic between the two of them?
Yeah, I mean, they're both kind of, they came in with the same chip on their shoulder mindset. I mean, Malachi, his story, just the one FBS offer. Austin Reed was a guy that started out, I think it was at Southern Illinois, so he started at FCS. Didn't get much of a chance there. I think he was third string. ends up transferring close to his home in Florida at Division II West Florida, wins a national championship, gets another shot, and just a guy that plays with it all out there. He lets it all hang out. A guy that isn't afraid to throw the ball and take some chances. And I just think they kind of had the same mentality and really hit it off together.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
One thing that I noticed when pouring through the background of Malachi Corley and his days at Western Kentucky is that he dealt with a lot of coaching changes. We already talked about two different coaching changes. Now let's get into another one, because Drew Hollingshead came in from Mississippi State this past year and took over as the offensive coordinator. So he had to deal with four different offensive coordinators while he was there. And still, each time somebody new came in, he got better and better, didn't skip a beat. That, to me, speaks volumes about him as both a person and a player, because on the field he was able to adjust, but off the field he was able to get along and thrive with different people at different points in time, which is not something that a lot of these guys can do, especially when they're college kids and so young.
Right, that is encouraging, isn't it? He's definitely been adaptable. And has kind of grown with each challenge, and physically and as a player. But especially you can look at him physically, just as he's so big and strong now. It's hard to believe he's the same guy he was in high school, but has found a way to be productive no matter what the situation, what the system. He finds a way.
Can you talk a little bit, Jeff, about that strength? Because I would imagine watching it up close is otherworldly. You watch it on tape and you see him manhandle these guys. He's got to be 225 pounds of muscle now after all the workouts and the combine and all of that. Just seeing him manhandle these guys as a receiver. Now, granted, it's Western Kentucky. It's going to be a different story in the NFL, but incredible power and strength from Malachi Corley.
Yeah, as I said, he's continued to grow even throughout, well, toward the latter part of this season, but especially once the season ends, he transformed again. He just looks like almost a different player than I saw here. He's just kind of a weight room fanatic, it looks like. But, you look at his workouts and all the work he's done after the season, and he hasn't lost a step adding that mass. So it's really impressive to see.
I was joking with a friend of mine that if this was the 1980s and Malachi Corley's football career didn't work out, he would have a career for him in the WWF, because Vince McMahon would take one look at him and go, "Oh, wow, we got to get this guy in here, pal."
Oh, I know. He's just absolutely ripped right now. Of course, this season, first game of the season, he comes out against South Florida, and he's dominating the game early, and then he gets hit in the ribs. He ends up with bruised ribs. Missed the rest of that game. They held him out in the second game, which was against Houston Christian, as a matter of fact. I think he could have played, but he didn't. But he comes back probably not 100% still with a bruised ribs, and scores a touchdown against Ohio State, and really played well up there.
Was that something he did a lot of, playing hurt or banged up at least? Because he plays such a physical style, I would imagine that there are times he would have to play through some pain.
I think so. Western Kentucky is not the most forthcoming about injuries, so they don't always talk about it. But like in the bowl game, I don't even think he was 100% there, just from the wear and tear of the season. I think the ribs were fine by then, but they're in the bowl game and they're down four touchdowns. He ends up, they pull him for the second half, and of course Western came back and won anyway. But just the fact that he played in that game when he really had nothing to gain by it just kind of shows the character of the kid.
Yeah, Jeff, since you brought it up, let's talk about that a little bit. He played in this bowl game despite everybody knowing he was going to the pros, and it's not like he was playing for a national championship or anything, but he felt like he had unfinished business. It's crazy to me that he would put himself out there knowing what he was risking, but as you said, I guess that tells you something about his character. Did you ask him about that decision, and if so, what did he tell you?
Sure, yeah. I mean, for him, it was it was an opportunity. Again, he was at the time still trying to show that he was more than just a gadget guy or a bubble screen machine. You know, he wanted to show that he could run those routes, show his full route tree. But just as important was he felt he owed it to his teammates and to this program that kind of had faith in him. So he's really shown that loyalty throughout his life and his football career. You see it back to high school. I'm sure he could have ended up at a high school a lot more prestigious than a single A program in Kentucky, even close to home. He could have done that. And certainly he had his chances to leave here at Western and stuck it out. And I think part of that was this year coming back, knowing that Austin was coming back and the opportunity to be a part of this offense. But I think he just likes, you know, programs and teams that believe in him, and he kind of shows that loyalty right back to him.
Yeah, Jeff, he said something about why he didn't transfer from Western Kentucky that blew my mind. He knew he could have had six figures to go play with a bigger school. And let's be honest about this. Unless you come from a rich background, and I'm not talking about somebody that comes from a middle-class background or a working-class background. I'm talking about a rich background, somebody that will never, ever have to worry about money in their entire life, has everything taken care of for them. That is a lot of money. That's life-changing money for most people, especially somebody at Malachi Corley's age. He turned down the opportunity to earn that money because he felt that he owed it to Western Kentucky after they took a chance on him when nobody else would to see it through and finish playing for them. That's crazy. And to me, that says a lot about, as you said, his thoughts on loyalty and his character overall.
And his confidence that despite that, that he could turn down that money knowing that he was still going to make it in the league and be successful at Western Kentucky again enough so that it wouldn't matter, that he would pass on that. So just confidence in himself as much as loyalty, too.
Jeff, can you talk a little bit more about Malachi Corley's confidence and just what he's like overall? Because you got to know him. When I reached out to you to talk to you about Malachi Corley, you said you're going to love him. He's a great kid, really nice. Tell me a little bit more about that aspect of him.
He's just a great interview. Really easy to talk to. Willing to do all the media stuff with no problems. Seems like a great teammate. I'm not his teammate, so I can only speculate, but I think all of his teammates like him. And he's just been kind of a joy to work with. And, you know, what you saw in his media availability, that's the Malachi Corley that I've seen all along, too. So, I think he's going to fit in well wherever he is. He's just a really good guy.
So you don't think he's going to have any trouble adapting to the New York media market?
No, I don't think so. Malachi, I don't think, is that type. He's, like I said, he's always been open and accountable when, you know, I've talked to him after wins, I've talked to him after losses, and, you know, he's a guy that's willing to work with you and talk about the game.
You hinted at this before, Jeff, but Malachi Corley, generally regarded as a good teammate and somebody very coachable. Coaches seem to like him. What can you tell me about the relationships there? As you said, you're not in the locker room as one of the players, but obviously you've been covering that team, so you have a pretty good insight on it.
Right. Well, yeah, like I said, Malachi is one that can adapt to whatever the role is. Sometimes this past season, honestly, they've had to use him as a little bit of a decoy, which has opened up the routes for some other receivers just because he does draw so much heat after the past season. And he's done that. He's a great blocker, and he has no problem with that aspect of the job either. And, you know, just whatever they've asked him to do, he's excelled at it, really. So I would expect that to continue.
There's something that's interesting to me about Malachi Corley when I watch tape of him. And that's something you just hit on, which is whatever they ask him to do, he excels at. Now, he's known predominantly for what he was asked to do the most at Western Kentucky, which is take these short passes and make yards out of them. That's why they call him the Yak God, right? But I think there are other aspects of his game. His vertical game is a lot better than people give it credit for. His blocking is something that you touched on but hasn't been talked about a lot. And there are other areas of his game where I think there's room for improvement. He's not known for his contested catch ability, but he's a big, strong guy and a good athlete, so I don't think it's out of the question that he could improve there. I talked to you before we started recording, and I've talked about this on the show numerous times, about Brandon Ayuk. And when he came out of Arizona State, he was known as a quote-unquote gadget guy, and he took some time to develop. In fact, By the time year two came around, at one point, he was in Kyle Shanahan's doghouse. He wasn't even really seeing reps at the beginning of his second season. And now look at him. He's on the precipice of a monster contract, and he's become one of the best wide receivers in the league. Now, I'm not saying Malachi Corley is necessarily going to get to that level, but as somebody who watched him up close and saw the snaps that he took and understands his variety of skills, do you think it's possible that there's a lot of untapped potential there beyond what we saw on tape in terms of just getting the yak and being that yak guy?
Yeah, I actually do. Like you said, that's what I saw too, was a lot of the short passing game and just kind of an uncanny ability to create his own space. And man, once he gets a step on a DB, he's impossible to tackle for a cornerback from what I've seen. I mean, I'm sure that it can happen, but it's something where you almost need a safety or a linebacker to bring him down, and even then it's kind of dicey. But yeah, I mean, I've seen him with the intermediate and even the deep routes, and he can catch the ball. I haven't seen him having any problem with contested balls. He definitely wins more than his share. So yeah, I think as he develops that kind of variety to his game, I think he'll do just as well. So yeah, I think he's going to be really good.
Jeff, I want to go back to something you talked about before, which is Malachi Corley's willingness to bet on himself. And so he decides he's going to go to the pros. We talked about his decision to play in the bowl game anyway. Tell me a little bit about Malachi Corley's decision to go to the pros. Was this a surprise to anybody? Was this a foregone conclusion? Did he talk to you at all about that decision to make the jump?
Oh, I think coming into this year, we knew that it was going to be his last year. You know, he was already getting some serious buzz before this season, which was really kind of amazing to him, too, because he hadn't been talked about at all before last year. So, yeah, we knew that this would probably be it for him. And you kind of wonder if he would start dialing it down as the season went on, because they weren't even, you know, they were eliminated from the conference championship. So they weren't playing for a CUSA title or anything. And it was kind of an odd bowl game, the famous Toastery Bowl. So you wondered if he would even bother with that, but ultimately he did. And then from there, he got the invite to the Reese's Senior Bowl, went down there and was just outstanding, right? Kind of the talk of the bowl, but ends up with an illness, so he couldn't play in the game, but and comes back here and on his pro day, and again, just kind of looks like a different dude already. And yeah, just looked great.
How do you envision him functioning within the New York Jets offense with a legendary quarterback like Aaron Rodgers? I assume he would be very excited to play with somebody like that.
Yeah, I would think so, too. I mean, you always think, just being from Kentucky, you think of kind of a Randall Cobb kind of role for him, although I think that he offers a different skill set than Randall Cobb would. But, I mean, if you get Randall Cobb out of him, you're doing fine, I would think. But, yeah, I think that he's going to be kind of that safety valve, that quick hitter. He loves to get off the line of scrimmage and create that quick space and then put the ball in his hands. If you don't have numbers to bring him down, he can really do some damage, as we've seen over and over. So, yeah, I would imagine Aaron Rodgers would be excited to have a guy like that.
Putting a bow on this, Jeff, from both a player and a person perspective, what are Jets fans going to see out of Malachi Corley on a scale from 1 to 10? 10 being me, the most excited you could be. How excited should Jets fans be?
Combined, I think I think you're going to get a 10, because I think as a third-round pick, he's just an incredible value. And, I mean, the sky's the limit with him, you know, as it is with many guys. But he has the traits and the personality, I think, to get the most out of it. So I think he's going to excel.
Jeff, before we run, is there anything that we haven't talked about yet, either on the field, off the field, a story that you remember, something that Malachi Corley might have said to you at some point that we haven't touched on yet that you think is worth mentioning?
Not too much. I just, you got to remember, you guys have had some luck with some Western Kentucky guys. Mike White, the Western Kentucky guy. Value, you definitely got value out of him. George Fant was there on the offensive line, another Western Kentucky guy, so. Seems like Western Kentucky and the New York Jets have had a pretty good combo for a couple of years here.
Hopefully that continues, and hopefully Malachi Corley is as dynamic with the New York Jets as he was with the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. Jeff Nations, sports editor for the Bowling Green Daily News. Thank you so much for coming on and giving us some insight on Malachi Corley, the Yak God. I am so excited to watch him play. As I tweeted out right after the pick, when does the season start? I'm ready to watch Malachi Corley right now. For those that want to check out your work, and you should, because he's written up some awesome stuff on Malachi Corley and the Western Kentucky program that you definitely want to check out. How can people read your writing, and how can they follow you on social media?
You can pick us up on our website, www.bgdailynews.com. My Twitter handle is Jeff, J-E-F-F, underscore, Nations, N-A-T-I-O-N-S, B-G, uppercase. So, yep, on Twitter. But we always like those hits to the website. So feel free to kind of relive Malachi's past season and the last few. It should all be in archives. And he's just been a great development story. So hopefully that continues. I think it will.
Make sure you check out everything that Jeff's written over at the Bowling Green Daily News and follow him on Twitter. Check out everything that we're doing over at playlikeajet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel, where you can find a video breakdown courtesy of the Thunder from Down Under, Luke Grant, of the aforementioned Malachi Corley. It's a really fun film breakdown, so watch that video and all the rest of the ones that we have up, including the other Jets draft picks like Olufashanu. It's youtube.com/playlikeajet. Subscribe as well. Make sure that you check out our store over at teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.